It's time to get green. Doug Oster is here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardener is on 100.1 FM and AM 1020. KDKA.
Mr. Oster is in the house just moments away. Your Pratt Pack reminding you, if you got a gardening question, you're going to be able to call us a little bit later in the program. We got a busy first couple of segments. And let me say, as we start segment number one, if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you will win yourself a $25 gift certificate from the incredible folks at Sorgals right off their Wexford exit. So 10th caller wins it, 412-922-1020. Here he is, your host, Doug Oster, Doug Oster.
Good morning. Two guests today. Second segment will be Peggy Ann Montgomery from flowerbulbs.com. They want us to plant bulbs, and I want you to plant bulbs. So we're going to talk all about that. And then later, our friend Luke Warner is here from the Davy Tree Expert Company. And we're going to talk all about where to leave those leaves and where we should rake them up. This week, it was the first cool, foggy morning in the garden, and I don't know why that is such a surprise. Maybe it's just me trying to ignore the fact that fall is here, but that first morning taking the dogs out at 7:30 in the morning and fog with the roses blooming and cooling down, and I just saw the pepper plants are kind of like, they're kind of tired. I pulled a few pepper plants out. A few tomato plants went into the compost pile. There's no frost in the forecast, which, again, we're going to have a late start to winter as far as the tender plants go. But if you've got tomatoes out there, you could leave them on the vine for a while. But when they start to color up, I bring them in. A lot of times I'll put them in a bag with an apple. We'll talk about that later in the season. But if you've got a bunch of tomatoes, if you want to clean up your vegetable garden, they're not really going to do anything except eventually ripen. They're not going to put any more tomatoes on at this point. Just pull anything that has any color on it at all, and you put them, that apple in the bag produces ethylene gas, which will help them ripen. But I do that like over the winter. Most of our area is still in drought and hopefully rain tonight. I hope it doesn't affect everybody that's at the game, though. That looks like the timing is going to be right around there. We'll talk a little bit later with Luke about how this drought has affected trees. I lost half of a twin dogwood for all these years. It was really beautiful, and half of it died. So I'm going to have to take that down. Now, my free online garden classes return on Wednesdays this year. So this Wednesday, 5 o'clock, it's for farm to table, buy fresh, buy local. We have so much fun doing these classes. It's, like I said, it's on the web. All you do is click a little button to register, and then you get an email, and you click on that, and you're in. And it's interactive, which is fun. When I'm doing the class, I'm always talking back and forth with people. You don't have to be there Wednesday at 5. You can watch them for free a couple days later. This week, we're talking all about extending your garden season with cool weather vegetables. You know, that's one of my big things. I love having this stuff out in the garden late in the season. A lot of nurseries, they've got all those vegetables that you can plant right now if you're willing. As this season winds down, and as I said, no frost in the forecast, no frost in the 10-day, so a 140-degree day, but anytime it goes below 50, your peppers and your tomatoes are just going to be like, ugh, this is too cold for me. I've got tons of hot peppers left. I don't know what I'm going to do with them because they are super hot. I made a visit to Janoski's, and I had a great time, and I got all my garlic for garlic planting. They had a great year for garlic. There are huge heads, and I like to buy my garlic that way. If you can find garlic at a farm like Janoski's that we know is grown locally, it's going to be hardy. When they call it garlic for food, and that's what I'm buying it in the market, it's cheaper than when they call it garlic for seed. And so it's the same exact thing. But it's just a good idea for me, just buy it as food. It's a lot cheaper. And I've been giving it away to some of my friends. And like I said, just huge heads. When I plant garlic, I'm starting now. My first planting is now. But because it is not getting cold as quick, I've moved a lot of my main planting to next month, to November, actually. So I'll put down a nice layer of compost. In fact, that's one of my jobs today. Got to go fill the pickup truck up with compost. Dump it on the bed. I'm dumping it on a bed where there were tomatoes this year. These were the tomatoes that got nailed by the deer earlier in the season, and they just never made it. They came back. They put some tomatoes on, and I got some tomatoes off them, but they just never got to their full potential. I'm going to put that compost down, a couple inches of compost. Around the edges of that bed are lilies, because I can only grow my lilies in that vegetable garden that's fenced in. So I'll put the compost down. I'll split up all the bulbs of garlic, and I'll take the biggest cloves, and I'll put them in about 3 inches deep, just kind of press them in, and then 6 inches apart, and then a nice blanket of straw over that, and that's really important. Now, this October planting, it will sprout, which is no problem. The only thing we don't want it to sprout, then freeze, sprout, then freeze again. And that third time, if it sprouts, it just takes so much energy out of the bulbs that they can't form the big bulb that they want to make. And so that's all there is to it. And one of my classes, these free classes, will be all about showing how to do garlic planting. And then for me, now it's 7 different harvests for the garlic grower. And we'll talk about that later in the season. This is also the time for saving seeds. In fact, I've got a tutorial about saving seeds and planting garlic at DougOster.com. But I love saving seeds. I've been saving lots of seeds from tomatoes, but lots of other plants that you can save seeds from. And you're just swooping in before they drop their seeds, whatever the plant is. In the case of tomatoes, I'm waiting until they're a little bit overripe. Same thing with the peppers, the flowers, they just dry up and start to fall off. I saved some beans from this. This is like typical for what happens in my house. I saved seeds from this Italian bean I've been talking about, Borlato. And it's like got it's the most beautiful bean I grew this year. I saw them growing, or I saw them at a market on the street in a city in Italy called Lucca, and they're just streaked with this bright red variegation and just beautiful. So I saved a bunch of the seeds, and you know, beans are easy just because you can see the pod dries out, the beans get big and hard. Well, my wife made them part of a little fall display on the dining room table, but my crazy dog, who's like a year old, he got up, he started chewing on the pumpkins, and then he tore all the beans apart. I found most of the bean seeds, that's the way it goes. Hey, Rob, you want to do a caller?
Yeah, let's do a caller.
No, let's get a caller in.
Here's Lou. Lou in South Park wants to talk lilacs. Hey, Lou.
Hey, Doug.
What's going on?
I got lilacs that are blooming now.
I've seen that all over the area. It's just the weather. It's weird. And anything that blooms now, any branch that blooms now, it won't bloom in the spring. But usually the whole thing doesn't bloom. Just some of them bloom. And you know, Lou, I've got a rhododendron that is doing a little blooming too. And it's just something about the weather. As things cool off, this will stop. The plants will go into dormancy, but it's just one of those things, and there's nothing we can do about it. This is just nature doing its thing, and you might as well enjoy them. You might as well cut them, bring them in. I know it's weird, and you're not alone, Lou. Like I said, when I've been driving around, I've seen it all over the place.
But they're not as big as the spring when they come out in the spring.
Yeah, because the buds aren't fully formed, and it's just one of those weird things that nature does, and as I said, nothing we can do about it, so enjoy them.
All right, we're going to take a break. Tell them what's coming up.
Peggy Ann Montgomery, my friend from flowerbulbs.com, will be coming on talking all about planting bulbs and sharing some planting tips, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of our favorite bulbs to plant.
All right, that's still to come with the Organic Gardener and Davy Tree Talking Tree. Stay with us.
Doug Oster tells you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardener is on 100.1 FM and AM 1020. KDKA.
All right, the first of two opportunities for Doug to do some great interview work as we continue on the Organic Gardener. So, Doug, who's up?
Oh, I'm excited to welcome Peggy Ann Montgomery from flowerbulbs.com to the show. And she's giving away a $100 gift certificate at the end of the segment. Good morning, Peggy. How are you?
I'm great, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing good. And tell me about flowerbulbs.com, because flowerbulbs.com has the same mission that I have.
Yeah, it's really great. Actually, we just got a grant from the European Union, and so right now we are at, you can find us at flowerbulb.eu, and we don't sell anything. Our mission is to inspire and educate. We just want everybody to learn to have fun with these bulbs. They're a great addition to any garden.
When I'm planting bulbs, I use the Power Planter auger. How do you plant yours?
Oh, I would not plant without an auger.
And let's talk a little bit about some deer-resistant bulbs. And the first one that comes to mind for me are daffodils. And I love daffodils probably more than anything in the world.
You know, you're right. Daffodils are great. And, you know, that's a real problem for a lot of folks that have deer pressure. Daffodils are wonderful. Almost all of the early flowering bulbs are, like snowdrops, winter aconites, grape hyacinths, all of them. They will go after crocus sometimes, and they will go after tulips. So if you can keep those two out of the mix, you'll be fine.
Well, you brought up snowdrops. So last year when my snowdrops bloomed, there's a double I love called Flora Pleno. And I have a little stand of them, and they look down. And so I pulled them, and I flipped them up, and I put them in a little dish of water so people could see them, and I posted it online. And now Peggy goes out, and she picks about 1,000 of those, and she puts them in a big, giant thing of water. Mine looked just so small compared to yours. Talk about snowdrops, because everybody should grow snowdrops.
Everybody should grow snowdrops. And you know what it is? I think for us gardeners that the first flowers of the season are the most precious. And the only thing that flowers earlier at my house are winter aconites. And when the snowdrops come up, we have thousands of them. They're a great grower. They multiply quickly. They don't mind a little snow. They'll just come right up through them. And I really have to give a shout out to my husband, because every year when they're finished blooming, he digs up half of each clump and starts like another colony somewhere else in the yard. And so, you know, after all these years, we have literally thousands of them, and they're breathtaking.
And the interesting thing about snowdrops is they love to be moved, what we call in the green. So as soon as they're done blooming, when you want to separate them, they love doing that. And good for Dan to get out there and help you out and get more and more snowdrops. Let's also talk about that winter aconite, because I finally have it in my garden, Peggy. After all these years, I finally got it going. And early blooming, beautiful yellow flowers, deer resistant, low grower. Yep. Just, you know, you can put these in.
Yeah.
You can plant things on top of them for later in the season.
Exactly. Right along our driveway, Doug, we've got like a pocket meadow. So it's going to be full of pollinator plants all summer and fall. But we cut that down, of course. And so all of our bulbs are under there. So the winter aconites start. And they're also a really good grower. And they'll multiply by themselves, and by bulblets and by seed. So the aconites will come up, and then the snowdrops and the crocus are in there. And the little iris reticulata, grape hyacinth. So we get a whole show for a couple of months before anything even starts to grow in that bed.
And then one more to talk about, Glory of the Snow. That's, again, one of my favorites. Again, deer resistant. It forms a nice colony. Yep. Can be blue flowers. I grow one called Violet Beauty that has purple flowers. But it's just a wonderful early blooming bulb.
It is. And, you know, there's something about that sky blue color. People love, and I love, blue flowers. And there's something so wonderful about that in the spring light with that beautiful blue color and a white eye. They are easy to grow. You know, bulbs come with everything they need. All you have to do is put them in the ground. And they're the easiest things in the world to grow.
And a lot of the bulbs we just talked about are smaller, so they don't have to go as deep. So how deep? How do you know how deep to plant bulbs?
The general rule of thumb is to plant them about three times as deep as they are tall. So if you have a little bulb that's an inch tall, plant it about 3 inches deep. And like you said, with your power planter, that goes really fast.
Yeah, an auger is the way to do it. That hand tool is cruel and unusual punishment for gardeners, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. And you got to work smarter, not harder.
We all started with that tool, but yes, the auger is the way to go. I have to have my tulips, though. Even though I have really bad deer pressure, I grow tulips inside my vegetable garden that's fenced in. And I basically look at tulips in general as annuals, and I use them for cutting. And when I have them in a vegetable garden, it's a perfect place to cut them and bring them in inside. I love the Darwins for being the most perennial. Do you have another type of tulip that you love?
Yeah, the Darwins are great. I plant just about anything in my vegetable garden so I can cut them in the spring. And, you know, a lot of tulips, the taller varieties, aren't perennial. And it's okay to grow them as annuals. The price point is really the same. And so go ahead and do that. I am particularly fond of Botanic tulips. The small ones, they're, closest to their original tulip. And they just flower and flower, and they are perennial.
So, Peggy, before I let you go, give us the website again.
We are at flowerbulb.eu, and look for us at flowerbulbs.com on social media. We've got some fun stuff going on.
Now, if you would like to win a $100 gift certificate, which you can use to buy bulbs, just go to dougoster.com, click on the contact button, or if you've got my email, and just send me something that says, hey, I want to grow bulbs, I want to get some bulbs, just something with bulbs in it, and we will give away this gift certificate this week, next week, and the week after. Peggy, thanks so much for coming on this morning.
Thanks, Doug. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, tell them what's coming up.
Well, it's Talking Trees with Luke Warner, but call or hang on there. We'll talk to you too.
Stay tuned.
Doug Oster tells you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardener is on 100.1 FM and AM 1020, KDKA.
Yeah, Doug's going to be here with Luke, Davy Tree, Talking Tree in a moment, but just enough time for me to say if you're the 10th caller, you're going to win a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's, 412-922-1020.
And now, it's time for Talking Trees, a service of the Davy Tree Expert Company.
We're joined by Luke Warner from the Davy Tree Expert Company. We're going to talk about fall leaves. But Luke, one question I had before we get started was the effect of this drought on our landscape trees and shrubs.
Yeah, it's been very challenging. I mean, we went through the vast majority of the summer there with really no moisture and very high heat. So a lot of those, you know, newly put in plants, grass, and shrubs really suffered if they weren't getting the right amount of, you know, supplemental watering. Not to mention a lot of those maybe mature trees that are just have other stressors, you know, other environmental stressors, be it disease or insects, and then you can pile on that drought we had. It can really cause damage to a lot of those plants.
Yeah, I had a twin dogwood, and I lost one of the smaller twin. You know, it wasn't even watching. You know, that tree's been there for as long as I've been at the property, 26 years. And so that's the way it goes, I guess. That's nature's way. There's only so much water we can apply, and you got to decide what you're going to save.
Yeah, exactly. I put in a couple, three swamp white oaks at my house, and two of them aren't doing too well. And unfortunately, it was kind of poor timing. When I put them in, it was right before the drought, and they're very far from the house, so it's not an easy thing to water.
Well, hopefully it will get some rain today, and it will continue. The cooler temperatures are definitely helping. But when I walked out onto my back porch this morning, lots of fall leaves on the patio. And so talk a little bit about the pluses and minuses of leaves in the landscape.
For sure. So, yeah, I mean, 'tis the season, right? It's October. We're about to hear that, like, fall national anthem of leaf blowers when you're outside, just constantly going. But ultimately, so many people blow their leaves or they remove their leaves, whether they put them in a compost pile or they put them, unfortunately, a lot of green waste ends up in the landfill. So our goal is to change that, recycle those leaves, keep them on your property. So there's a lot of different benefits for these. There's some environmental benefits. There's some benefits to surrounding plants and trees. But if we kind of start with, those environmental benefits, I mean, a lot of insects and beneficial insects at that, like moths, caterpillars, bees, all those overwinter in the leaf litter. So if leaves are falling down and they're in landscape beds and they're left, again, beneficial insects can use those to overwinter. Birds that then feed on insects, throughout the winter, if you look outside, they're going to be kind of searching through that leaf litter, either in maybe your landscape beds or in, Mother Nature in the natural habitat in the woods to feed off of those insects. And things like amphibians, different salamanders, turtles, toads, they also, use that leaf litter as well as their main habitat. Now, if we look at direct benefits to plants, be it trees or shrubs, if you have leaves, again, that fall down in your mulch beds or landscape beds, and you leave them and say you don't mulch them, right? You don't cut them up. You just let them lay. That is the same thing that is happening out in the woods or in the forest. If you walk, out there, those leaves break down and they provide a lot of different nutrients, kind of balance the soil, and they're adding those nutrients back in. So they're all recycling. Just you walk through the woods, if you bend down and you take a big handful of leaves, you'll see that top layer might look like the new leaf that fell. And as you work down through that leaf litter, maybe halfway through, they're pretty wet. They're starting to break up. And if you get down below that, it's a very, very dark, nice organic matter that all of the plants really love. It will retain a lot of moisture, just like mulch. One of the best things about that is it's free. So, these leaves are falling on our properties, and it's not something that we have to buy. It's just something that we know or we have to learn how to take advantage of. So those are some benefits of leaving the leaves for the trees. If they fall in your lawn, they need to be worked on a little bit differently. So you can use your lawnmower, turn it to like a mulch setting, maybe block that chute, that discharge chute. Just mow them back and forth and mow them over a bunch so they're breaking up into small pieces where it can get down into the canopy of that, of your turf, and they'll break up. And again, you're recycling those nutrients just at a faster rate because you're breaking them up. You don't want those to mat down over the lawn, or you're going to have a lot of dead sections in your turf.
Right. In my case, I've got those oak leaves falling on that lawn now. And and I'm using my mower right now because I don't want to wait until there. There's a certain point where there's just too many. Well, you know the property; you've been there many times. Mm-hmm. There's just too many oak leaves by the end of the season. So if I start now, it works much better. But I'm able to chop up most of those oak leaves on that spot, and then. I love what you said about when you look underneath those leaves, because at one area, somebody's been blowing leaves over that edge there since 1939. And when you dig down in there, that's the best stuff. I'll take a wheelbarrow down there and fill that up with some of that leaf mold and use it in the garden.
Oh, it's great stuff. It really is. And you made a very good point about staying on top of it, starting early. You don't want to start when your lawn is totally covered. Mm-hmm. You really need to start mowing now, like you are. Sometimes you might have to mow, a handful of times a week, which is frustrating to do that often. But with oak leaves like you have, those are very thick, tough leaves. If you have different plants, like maybe, some different type of ornamental trees, I mean, they shrivel up so small that maybe you go over them once and they're almost gone for the season.
So I do have a question from a listener for you from Chuck, and He had a maple tree that a buck rubbed the bark off on one side of the tree. Nowadays, the tree's about 6 inches across. Nowadays, what do we do for that kind of damage, Luke?
So, of course, like many things, the best case is prevention, putting a deer guard on it to limit this from happening in the future. But ultimately, it did happen. So to deal with that now, getting those loose and broken pieces off, you don't want to grab it and kind of pull on it or rip it, but put the guard on it now to prevent it from happening in the future. Wait for a lot of those pieces to kind of dry up. A lot of them will fall off. Keeping that tree watered, fed, and there are some like phosphorus applications that you can actually put on the on that trunk to help stimulate some growing wood and kind of healing wood. But protecting it for the future and giving it the nutrients and water that it needs that it can continue to pack on some growth and healing wood in the future is the best case.
What kind of stuff do you put on the tree to protect it?
I like deer guards. I like something that you can see through. It almost looks like a chicken wire, but it's a thicker plastic. I don't care as much for the big corrugated pipes or a wrap. Those things can, the pipes don't really expand and they're hard to get around the plant, so they're left on too long and then you cause damage when you take them off. The wraps, the same thing. Individuals put those on, they forget about them, and the tree gets a lot of deformities from that. It also can inhibit that nutrient flow. So the ones that you find, most of your garden centers will have them, and they're only, I don't know, $5 to $10 probably per plant, but they come in different sizes. Something that the water can go through, the water's not going to get captured, and the air can go through because it can stay dry. And you can take those off, put bigger ones on as the trees get bigger, or sometimes you can even double them up for a larger plant.
And then when do they come off? Real quick, we're just about out of time for this sake.
This late summer, early fall is when the bucks really do their rubbing. But if you get something that the air and water go through, they can stay on year-round. That's what I do at my house.
All right, Luke, hang in there. We'll be back right after the break. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDK. And remember, you can always call the experts like Luke from Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-TREE. 982-8733.
All right, you have a question about your trees in particular, give us a call. Luke's going to stick with us for the final segment with Doug. It's 866-391-1020. We salute National Noodle Day. Coming up next hour on the Coons Cooking Hour, Frank Dentisi is here, and that's 20 minutes away on KDKA.
Doug Oster tells you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardener is on 100.1 FM at AM 1020. KDKA.
My man Luke Warner is still here. Doug is here. And we're going to go to the phones. Let's say hi to Diane in Allison Park. Diane, thanks so much for holding on. Good morning.
Hi, Doug. I have a problem. I used weed killer in my garden last March, thinking by June it would be okay. Mm. I grew nothing. Not even a weed. How can I fix that garden?
You're probably going to have to... You're probably going to have to scrape off that first... Well, I don't know. Let's see. What do you think, Luke? What would you do in that situation? She put down weed killer, and it's still there. It's an herbicide. It's still there. Shouldn't it dissipate on its own?
Yeah, it should. You would really need to know, you know, what type of herbicide, so you knew the active ingredients, the percent rate, things like that. But over time, it will dissipate. Moisture is one of the big things, but ultimately time. I would be surprised that it did take that long, but certainly by next year, I wouldn't anticipate there being an issue.
And then, Diane, maybe dump some compost on top and plant in that compost.
Can I put soil on it?
Yeah, but I would use compost. You can just buy it by the bag and dump it on top and plant in that for next year, and you should be okay.
Not even a weed grew.
Say it again.
Not even a weed grew.
Yeah, that's you got to be really careful with herbicides like that. All right, let's talk to Cindy.
All right, Cindy, how are you? Good morning.
Hi, good. How are you? I just wanted to ask you. We have a clump white birch tree, and we haven't had that many lantern flies. The last time it rained, there must have been 50 plus on that tree. I couldn't believe it. But it's making like a black on the white birch tree and actually black around my plants. Now, at first I thought the white birch sometimes drops stuff in dirt and it looks like that, but this is extreme. How do I get them off the tree and how do I clean up that black? I'm guessing that's from the lantern fly.
Yeah, Luke, we know what that black is, don't we?
Yeah, the black is what's called sooty mold, and that's the excrement of the spotted lantern fly. Since it's so high in sugar, it ultimately molds. So it's falling onto, it's falling onto your white birch as well as the understory plants. Now, depending on the size of the birch tree, if it's a small tree, you can even spray those lantern flies with water and knock them off. You can smash them, kill them. There's other different ways to mitigate the lantern fly. But mornings and evenings are going to be your easiest time to get to them now since it's cooler temperatures and they move a little bit slower.
And they'll be gone at frost, right? Is there a way should you be trying to clean that sooty mold off or will it go away?
It's not worth your time probably to clean most of that off. It will dissipate with time. And a lot of people get upset because it falls on maybe their perennials or their shrubs underneath where, they're going to be dying off for the year anyways.
I have not go ahead.
I didn't want them to kill them, and I didn't want the tree to die. Like, what can I use to safely get that black off the tree, the trunk?
You probably would cause more harm in scrubbing the tree and trying to get that sooty mold off. Time will take care of the sooty mold. Now, just taking care of the lantern flies and getting them off your birch tree would be the best play into starting to get rid of the sooty mold.
All right, Luke, thanks so much, as always. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to davey.com/KDKA. And remember, you can always call the experts from Davey at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.